Hi, and welcome to the Marvel Rivals Review Podcast, the podcast where three men in their 30s talk all thing Marvel Rivals, from the news to the balance to the inevitable drama that comes with being an online community. So my name is Conrad Guther, and I'm joined as always by my co-host, the Heat of Work, over here to the right. And below me, Vance Helsing Gaming.
Hello, I have a child that is running rampant in my
house.
Yeah. So what... How have you guys been this week? Let's start this a little bit. How have you guys been this week?
I've been exhausted. I'm not gonna lie.
Dude,
but
I know
playing video games brings me joy, so I'm here.
Exhausted, waiting for that sweet, sweet December 6th release date in 40
yeah,
days.
I'm drooling.
What about you, Vance?
I'm having a week. It's been a good one, but as you can see, I'm being assaulted by a 4-year-old.
Yeah, dude.
As you should.
As I should. Yeah, this is my fault for being late.
Yeah.
How dare I spend time with my family. Anyways.
Right? Honestly cringe. So, obviously, the big thing that happened recently, the thing we should probably talk about the first, is the current beta that's going on right now. Their server stress test that's happening exclusively in China from the 8th to the 18th. So, that's happening. What do you guys think about that? That exclusive Chinese beta?
You know what? I'm not going to disrespect China at all. Good for them. You know, I'm jealous a little bit that I can't dabble in some. And at least I wish they would just say, you know, it's America, you're next. But I don't see it. Yeah, I'm a little salty about it, but good for them.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I still think that only doing a one region stress test does not count as a stress test.
Okay, let's talk about that stress test part of it, because it's pissed. That's kind of what's upsetting me the most about this, is they call it a stress test, but how they're doing it is the same way they did it for our beta, which is where they let it in a certain amount of people, and then everybody else is watching streams, getting keys, and then taking those keys and getting access to the game. Yes, so is it really a stress test if you don't open the gates? Is it really a stress test if you just like build up to like a 50,000 limit instead of letting, I don't know, the 350,000 people that are waiting in your Discord into the game at one time? Is that a stress test?
No, not by any stretch of the imagination is that a stress test.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have a wife who is
yeah.
Being a wife.
Mm-hmm. So, with your extensive knowledge of stress tests, Tahita Work.
Yes.
Is this a stress test?
You know, throughout my years of studying and
you know,
doing focus tests on stress tests, I'm going to say this is not a stress test. I'm going to say this is an open beta for the Chinese.
Yeah. That's not really open. Yeah.
I mean, not open. A closed beta, I guess, but very close to us.
Yeah. So another thing, and I had Vance brought this up in one of our last episodes, is that there are, okay, so with the different servers, like the Oceanic server, the America servers, and the China servers, these servers are actual physical things. There are server rooms in places that are actually physical. Somewhere there's a physical item, right? And we're testing these servers to see how many people they can hold, a stress test. But we're only testing one. The China one, and just assuming because that one might do well in this kind of test, that every other one is going to be fine, when there could be just all kinds of issues with them. I'm not like a server expert, but it just doesn't make sense to me not to test all your servers.
So I'm also not an expert in servers, but everybody has played a game that it's so hype at launch. You know, everybody's so excited to play it. I mean, the only thing I can think of right now is like World of Warcraft, because that's all I play. Is you have all these people that are now on the server, and the server like starts lagging. It takes, you know, 15 seconds for you to perform an action. That's the stress test. And each server is going to have a different reaction, because you also have to think into account that there are people that are going to be, you know, playing in America that are going to be on the Chinese servers, or, you know, vice versa, as people are, you know, trying to all play. So you don't know the effects of, or how many actual people are going to be on each individual server. Because let's face it, the, you know, Europe or the Asian servers are gonna want to smurf over in the Americas to prove that they're better than us. So we're gonna have probably more people in the US, the North American servers, than probably in Europe or Asia.
I just, like, yeah, I agree. And I just have problems with this idea that, because they're limiting out the keys they're giving, right? Like, every day, they're limiting out the keys. So they're building up their numbers, but it's not this all-at-once thing. Like, if you do it this way, where you give out keys every day, like, you're going to have people drop off, and you're going to maintain a pretty consistent number if you're not, like, opening the floodgates. That's not really stress testing at all.
There's no stress.
There's no stress, dude. Like,
throttling is not...
Yeah.
Throttling is not the way to go about this. Like, you have to just open the door and just let it go.
Yeah,
we're going to be sitting here on day one. Looking at a fucking loading in screen.
The 50,000 people ahead of me. Just like, fuck!
Alright, cool. Alright, I'm gonna just sit here and cry, I guess.
Oh, dude. Yeah, so that's what I want to talk about. Also, I wanted to talk about, I did figure out how to kind of get access to the Chinese beta. And I think it's worth a kind of talk. So, if you guys don't know, so there's several things you needed to get it into the Chinese beta. One, a VPN. That can work in China. That, you know, you also need a Chinese NetEase account. To get this Chinese NetEase account, you have to have a Chinese phone number and a Chinese citizen number to do this. So right. So
is that like a social security number?
Yeah. It's like the number assigned to each Chinese citizen, and like over there, or like every time you download an app or whatever, they like you have to use this number to get things. So think about what that means for the current streamers right now that are streaming Marvel Rivals. Like, I'm not gonna throw shade as in like they've done something illegal, but it definitely doesn't seem legit. Because how did you get a Chinese citizen number? That means either you have a fake Chinese citizen number that somehow was generated online, you are borrowing someone else's like citizen number or NetEase account, which I don't know what the legality of that is, or you bought a NetEase account, which I tried. And the only reason I didn't go through with buying a Chinese NetEase account online is because it was a super shady site where they wanted me to, like, it felt like I was throwing over a fucking, like, you know, dark cloak over my head, walking out to the fucking alleyway, meeting someone with like a jet, like you never saw me. Kind of, it was super extra to like get this Chinese.
But you missed one other way: dual citizenship. They could have just, you know, applied for citizenship in China.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think it's that easy. I don't think it's that easy. Citizenship in China. They're pretty. You know what? I'm not gonna talk about China.
But yeah, I just wanted to bring that. What are you guys' thoughts about that? Like, because it is a lot of steps just to get into this beta, to play it for like 10 days, which I wish I did because I really want to play. But like, fuck, it's a lot.
Like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to take them steps. I'm just going to hold, you know, my breath until this game comes out, even though I really want to play it. I'm just really going to be optimistic, honestly, if, you know, that we get one, that we actually get a little one. Weekend, fucking
my sweet summer child.
I know. I still have the eyes of a child.
What do you think about it though? Does it where on like the? I don't want to say morality as much, but where do you fit on the morality scale of this? Like, how do you feel about the Chinese citizen number thing? Like,
I don't know the legality, so I really don't have a moral standpoint on it. Like, if they are cool with it. You know, and you're cool with, you know, putting your stuff out there like that.
But being, and I'm also uneducated, fair to say, but being just like right now, me telling you that I need you to get a Chinese, how do you feel about that? Do you lean towards like, man, that sounds illegal, or does that sound not illegal?
That sounds like identity theft. That's 100% what it sounds like.
You're going to be on a list immediately.
It's like, oh, dude, hardware bans.
Yeah. They got your IP. You're on the list.
Yeah, dude. But it's a lot of steps. But I am happy that there's some streamers out there playing because, you know, I watch them while I do work, and I've run into some really cool people that, you know, are like popping off because of this beta and are building themselves a name. Jimbo Limbo, I see you out there. All right.
Oh, I know.
So, the next thing I kind of wanted to bring up, now that we talked about the beta and our lack of one, is the news so far and the hype they're building. So in the last month or so since we've done the podcast, the first thing they did, and this one kills me. It fucking kills me. It absolutely destroys me. The news that they're traveling the world and they're bringing Marvel Rivals to the world and they're going all these places. So let's talk about the places they're going while they travel the world for the building the hype. They're going to Sao Paulo, Brazil. And then they already did that. That one already happened. And then they're going to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. After that one, that one's already happened too. That one, that few day event. And the one that's currently happening is they went to the Paris and France for the games. And where do you think they're going after Paris?
Brazil?
They're going back to Brazil. they're going back to Sao Paulo, or however you say that, Brazil. That's traveling the world, guys. So just like, woohoo!
The only world that matters, I guess.
World traveling, man. It just kills me, their wording. They're like, oh, we're traveling the world. Okay. Okay. You went to fucking Paris and Brazil, man. Calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
We've been to more places on our deployments.
True. True. Never Paris, though. Kind of wish I was there. I bet it's cool.
I heard that Paris is not as cool as people think.
Yeah, but they got the tower, the Eiffel Tower.
That's their thing. Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah,
dude. They got French people. I don't know anything about French culture, but they're probably cool.
So I'm gonna say something controversial. We didn't go to France, but we were in Marseille, or we did go to France. We didn't go to Paris. We went to Marseille, and it felt like I was walking. This is gonna probably piss people off, but it felt like I was walking through like the set of Les Mis. Like Les Miserables, it felt very slummy. I don't know if it was just the area that I was in, but it felt really gross.
If you want to see slummy, go to fucking Philadelphia. Holy crap.
Yeah, Philadelphia. Yeah. Oh my God. I talk crap about Philadelphia to my coworkers that work in Philadelphia. They're like, have you ever been? I'm like, yeah, I did. And I would never go again. It was great. Sorry, Philly. Some of the people were great. They need to clean their streets up.
So Paris Game Week still happening. Hopefully, they've released a couple bits of information recently, and that most of it has been like okay. One is We Are Venom thing they did, where they revealed two different Venom skins. Did you guys see those? I posted them in the Discord. Yeah,
I did see those.
Yes, I did.
All right. So the one really fucking cool, Space Knight Venom, dope skin.
Yeah.
Cool. The other one, the anti-venom, there's been a lot of kind of like thoughts in the community. That's just the recolor that they're calling anti-venom.
Yeah, literally. I mean, that's what anti-venom is, so, but
and really if not you know
more they can do.
And you notice in the picture, like his little fucking goo web is like the same color as the original skin too. So people are wondering, like, is this just a recolor? Or is there going to be like a... Because the Cyan Venom skin was a recolor, but also all the VFX, all the voice effects, they were different too. So that's like the big question like on this skin is like, is it going to have that? A lot of people are pissed that they use the name Anti-Venom for a recolor if it doesn't have like VFX.
What
do you guys think about that?
Well, I mean, it could still just be, you know, just a teaser thing. They probably still could be working on the visual effects for it, and they very well could, you know, make him his goo or the symbiote white and the entire way it stretches. So it's early concept. I mean, the game's still in beta. Cut them some slack. Not a lot, but cut them some.
Cut them some slack. No. Absolutely fucking not.
Fuck them.
No, they want my money. I'm gonna be. So. About that, though, that kind of brings us to another topic. So with this idea, Anti-Venom in the Marvel Universe is another character outside of Venom, right? So that's not, it's not Venom. It's like, he's like the anti-symbiote. I don't know the actual thing, but he's not like Venom. He's a different character. And this is a skin that is going to be used as that character instead of ever introducing that character to the game, is the idea. How do you guys feel about that? So, like, one example I saw was, like, what if they made an Iron Man skin? What if they just said War Machine? That's just going to be an Iron Man skin. Another one is, like, where we're pretty sure we're getting Miles Morales as an additional character, but what if Miles Morales was just a Spider-Man skin? Like, how do you feel about that? Like, using characters, other characters for skins for certain other characters?
So, I mean, you got to think about it from A, a production standpoint, B, a gameplay. Like, there's only so much you can do and so many characters you can have that, you know, you can't represent the entirety. You can't have every character in the Marvel Universe be a character. It's it's just, it's impossible. So it should at least satiate the diehard fans of, you know, some of these off characters that are, so like the anti-Venom or the War Machine, like, oh, they're at least still getting representation. People are gonna dive into it too much and be like, you fucking bastards! You gotta think about it from a logistics standpoint.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, go ahead, Dieter.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say, I think, like, it also has to do with, you know, similar to what Vance was saying, the popularity of these characters. How popular is anti-Venom? I mean, I don't know, because I don't read the Marvel comics, but, you know, I knew he existed, but I didn't know he was a separate. I mean, I thought from playing the Spider-Man 2 game, Spider-Man was anti-Venom. I was like, oh, okay, that would make sense that he would get that power, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I hope they don't, like, do a Carnage skin and be like, this is Carnage. Like, no, Carnage is very popular, so Carnage to be his own separate, which I think, didn't they say that? Maybe, I don't know. But that was coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, it just depends on the popularity of the character.
I agree with both of you guys to an extent. I don't see as big of a problem as some of the community has had with it, like some of the lashback for it. Because there's like certain things, like, you know, like, are we really going to create a Red Hulk character for new, when we could just put that, like, on the Hulk and then, like, do something crazy like Squirrel Girl is coming. Like, that seems more interesting to me. I think some people are, like, jumping the gun on some of these too. Like, I think, like, War Machine's particular and Iron Man are so different enough that they're likely be a separate character. But, you know, if it's just a War Machine skin at the end of the day, it's not gonna, like, bother me too much, right? Because, like, this game is supposed to last years, and, you know, you can only expect, like, I don't know, so many character releases a year. Like, there's, and the Marvel IP is so huge. Like, you're asking for eventually, like, 400 some, you know, characters in the game. It's like, how about we just do that? Like let's pull back on that, you know.
And it's gonna get to the point where it kind of like League. When League came out, or specifically League of Legends, for those that don't understand, every character at the beginning felt different. But as time has progressed, it has now devolved into every character now has a dash. Every character now has some type of shield that they apply. And every character has some type of buff that they give themselves. It's the same kit, in a sense. That you don't get that, you know, oh, once in a lifetime, or once in a character, like, ability. And you gotta... It's just gonna eventually start to blend together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think that's the, like, end destination of any game that has that, but I say we don't rush ourselves there, and right. Let's not rush ourselves there. Like, it's okay if some of these characters are similar enough, it's just a skin, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Yeah. Some characters, man, I don't care.
Yeah.
We'll pick more of the characters that's been in movies and shows just to keep, you know.
Hey, I think they're gonna have to, like, release characters in concert with what's going on in the greater Marvel IP universe. Like, as movies are coming out, like, you know, like, I'm betting, like, we know Doctor Doom is in this game. We know there's the two Doctor Dooms. I bet you we see Doctor Doom released to the game when the new Avengers movie comes out.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah,
I think that things like that are just bound to happen. We missed talking about something in my notes back to the beta Like, so we're gonna have to back up just a little bit, but we want to talk about the buffs and nerfs that are at least known about in the beta. And this is a kind of harder conversation to have, specifically because there are some that are very obvious, and then there's some that are just like felt out. There's no official like patch notes that have been released where we can say, hey, this has been changed, this has been changed, this has been changed. So let's just talk about the ones I know. The most exciting one, Jeff, has been Giga Ultra Mega Buffed.
Hooray!
Just like, so they did a lot of stuff with Jeff. One, they increased the rate of his secondary fire, his Hawktua spitting damage projectiles. Like he like up now, like really fast, really fast. Right? They gave him an extra charge on his bubble. The bubble that like gives a heal boost and heals. So it gives a heal boost like an anti-grenade would. And it heals. Now it splashes that does a little bit of AoE healing. And it also gives a speed boost. And he has 6 charges instead of 5.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not done. Jeff also got a... So his dive, when he goes under the ground, just a fin, now goes significant. He moves significantly faster and gets a passive heal while he's underground.
Oh my god.
He was super easy to kill.
So what do you think about, and I think that's all of them. Yeah, Jeff super mega ultra buffed, real character now. What do you guys think?
He's real. He's finally, maybe, probably Jeff, not viable.
Yeah, everybody loved Jeff, so like, I'm glad they like took the time to be like, let's make him worth the love he gets.
Yeah. Even though now, think about this. You're going to be eaten with his ult and then drug off the map a lot more, because now when he's in that stage, he moves faster and heals, so he's less likely to die before he does this kamikaze move where he trolls both allies and teammates by just swallowing up everybody and jumping off the map. So Loki got a buff as well.
Ooh, I love me some Loki clone.
So Loki has an extra charge now on his clone, the one where he physically sets up. So now he can create a clone by going invisible, and he has 2 charges of the one where he can put anywhere on the map.
Oh, nice. So you can have 3 clones at once now?
No, you can still only have 2 clones up at once, but you can save an ability. The way I see it now is you can either save your disappearing or your one of your charges for setting a clone for escaping.
Oh, okay.
So, right? So now, and now in that clone rotation, because smart players will kill clones, so as you keep clones up, now that you have a 3rd cooldown, you should be able to maintain the uptime of your clones more.
That's going to be huge, I feel like.
Yeah. And people are saying, though not confirmed, but they feel like his primary healing has been increased as well, like the amount per shot. All right. The Winter Soldier.
The Winter Soldier. Oh, yeah.
The Winter Soldier got buffed. He got buffed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Wasn't doing enough, huh?
Dude, he wasn't... He wasn't doing enough in his little tiny test. They gave him an extra bullet on his primary fire. So now his gun has 3 clips. So now you do 3 shots in between the cycling abilities. Because if you remember, that's how he works, is he uses his abilities. His abilities reload his gun. So he gets an extra shot, like boom, 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 then hook, then boom, 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 then uppercut, boom, 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 then his, however you want to use his abilities.
That's going to be fun. I can't wait to play that.
Dude, I want to play the Winter Soldier so bad. I want to play the Winter Soldier. I want to play Captain America so bad, too.
I just want to play so bad.
Okay, this is the one I'm most excited for. The Magneto Sword nerfed.
Thank
fucking God.
Crap.
They reduced its splash radius. So, like, if you're shooting at people's feet, like, the damage it does, like, in the splash, the radius of that isn't as big. So, so you can't get some bullshit kills by, like, slashing off, like, way far away from them and getting a kill on splash damage. They also reduced the damage significantly to the point for 250 characters. It takes 3 swings to kill instead of 2.
Woo!
Okay. Yeah. So, those are the ones I'm certain of. Some people think that the Hulk's, like, especially on the Reddit, thinks that Hulk's melee has been buffed. I don't know about that. Some people think, Necro said, so he's probably right, because Necros is pretty knowledgeable. He said that the Spider-Man, his ultimate, he's no longer CC immune doing that, so he can be stunned out of that.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I hated Spider-Man coming out of nowhere. The Amazing, whatever he says, holy crap.
So what do you guys think about the buffs and nerfs, man, that I at least know about. There might be more. Not sure. Sorry, guys.
I mean, they sound good. Yay, Jeff. Yay, fucking Magneto Sword being nerfed, because that was so annoying. Fun to play. Not fun to play against.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any, like, ways about Winter Soldier, because, you know, can't play him.
Just gotta play watch
initially.
So enjoy watching other people play him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I definitely think it's a good thing that they are already, like, even though, you know, they've only sort of been beta testing around, they're already, like, moving into the buffs and nerfs of things, being like, hey, this is something we noticed in this playtest. Mm-hmm. Let's try and, you know, bring it back down. So it definitely shows that they are willing to admit, so far at least, admit mistakes when it comes to, like, kit damage and just being like, hey, this is a little excessive. Let's tone it back, or let's, you know, let's salvage poor Jeff the Shark and make him a viable character instead of, mm-hmm. you know, a filler.
Dude, what I really like about the Jeff buffs is they were so aggressive to the point where he might be overtuned even. Like, and that sounds, I know that might sound weird to people, but if you, like, consider people like the Overwatch devs who do these fucking tiny little fucking nerfs all the time, and that, you know, no one's ever happy because they don't feel like they're aggressive enough. Like, I feel like this change to Jeff specifically shows that they're willing to fucking go in there, yeah. make some changes, you know?
It's like, oh, you said Jeff sucks, huh? Okay.
We're not going to have a Brig gets nerfed 22 times in a row.
Oh, my yeah, God.
No Brig 22 times in a row. Or right now, Orisa's popping off again because, like, you know, they micro-buffed her for fucking patches and patches, and now she's ridiculously strong again. So yeah, and they didn't nerf her in the last patch.
That Sombra rework, fucking go.
That Sombra rework.
We hear about Marvel, we can't go, we can't do that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. moving on, you guys saw the Miller Ross leak, the Moon Knight character reveal, or the model review, which is just his head, right? Everybody saw that.
Gorgeous. I did.
Unfortunately, it's only his head and not the rest of the Moon Knight.
Yeah.
But yeah.
These little granule ass leaks we get. It's all right. I'm glad we get something.
Miller Ross literally posted that and then 5 minutes later, like, took it down.
So, yeah, he was like, get it while you got it.
get it while it's hot.
Well, that might be, you know, maybe NDA type things or legal concerns.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's like, yeah. They're cracking down on leakers all over in all industries.
Are they? I haven't been really paying that much.
In the manga industry, they've gone crazy.
Dude, remember when it used to be easy to read manga for free online? And now we're getting off topic again. Back in my day, I used to be able to hire fucking anything.
I didn't have to worry about paying none.
Okay. So I can't say for certain that this is a Miller Ross leak, but there have been leaks about Moon Knight's abilities. And I want to be upfront with everybody watching. Like, I'm about to go over these abilities, but they may not be, like, the actual ones. But they seem real to me just because it makes sense in how they function together kind of thing. So I think there's a potential that they're real. They might not be. Or they might be changed before Moon Knight comes to the game. We don't know. But let's talk about.
I'm listening. I gotta go get a drink. I'll be right back.
Yep.
And
all right. So the first one, this is a passive. It's called Luna Kinesis.
Ooh.
And his crescent darts and his moon blades bounce between enemies and Ankhs. So we'll talk about that. If you're not sure what an Ankh is, we'll get to it. So crescent dart. It's an ability. It's probably either his primary or secondary fire. He unleashes darts forward that bounces between enemies and Ankhs. So, they bounce between the enemies and the Ankhs. Moonblade, it's probably a secondary fire. Launches a Moonblade forward, bounces between enemies and Ankhs, right? The next ability is called Ankh Siphon. It's fire an Ankh to reveal and stun invisible enemies within range. So, this is like a physical thing he sets down. Kind of the way I see it in my head is for people that like play League of Legends, like your wards. Like he launches a ward, like a ward that like is in the space and it's kind of like a trap. Like, if an invisible person walks in that area, they're going to be stunned and, like, revealed. Like,
Okay.
I'm looking good. He has Lunar Chain, which is his mobility option. It's a grapple hook that pulls Moon Knight towards it. He has Night Glider. He can hold space to glide, it says.
Gorgeous.
So his alt, this is what I assume of it, is his alt. It's called the Age of Khonshu. And it says, Khonshu bombards enemies with talons and reveals and stuns invisible enemies within range.
Oh, okay.
A big-ass bird's gonna fly down and start swatting at everyone.
Fucking up the invisible people, yep. So, yeah. I'm not done. He has a double jump, apparently, called Rising Leap. And he has this Lunar Aura, which I'm not sure what this is, if this is an active ability or a team-up or whatever, but it's another reveal and stun enemies within its radius. So, what do you guys think? What do you guys think of the Moon Knight kit? If you have any
sounds
questions
sick
about
as hell.
The Moon Knight kit, yeah?
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to be like a counter to Psylocke, or who else goes invisible? Loki?
Loki,
is that it?
Yeah, so far. They also plan on adding Invisible Woman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so.
Imagine Invisible Woman doesn't go invisible.
She just uses force fields.
And she's a thing. Okay, so what I wanted to bring up about about these abilities in particular is, one, I do like the sound of the kit. They sounds like, at first I was concerned about, like, how it'll unreveal stealth people, if it was, like, a skill-based thing or not. But with the idea of at least the Ankh, of him placing an Ankh somewhere, and, you know, that being a trap for invisible people, depending on how many charges he has on that, I think that's fair counterplay to invisible enemies that are on the flank.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are aware that you can do that. It's not just a passive, you got knocked out of invis for free. They had to walk into an area. They had to trigger the trap. There was counterplay involved in that. But this Lunar Aura, where it just says reveal and stun enemies within its radius, that I feel is a little bit less skill-based. So I don't know how that works.
I'm curious if when he places that down and that aura that's around it, is that blocked by walls? Like, can you put it inside a building and it's that aura is, you know, you can't see the Ankh, but it's still radiating that field around it, outside of it?
I think walls would have to stop it, personally. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't go through walls, because then, you know, that'd be some bullshit, just, like, walking around and get unstealthed, and especially if your stealth has, like, a cooldown, and, like, you just got unstealthed through a wall. That'd be kind of
like... like a Widow Mine.
Like a Widow Mine?
Yeah,
it could be. Remember, this Ankh has a dual purpose of revealing enemies and stunning them if they're invisible, and also as an ability which his primary and secondary fire bounce off of as well. So, like, your strategic placing of this not only is gonna, like, block angles from invisible people, but you have to position it in a way to maximize your DPS, from the way it sounds, for your primary fire to bounce between the enemies and the Ankh to maximize damage.
Now, I'm curious how that's gonna work. Is it... Sure, it can bounce back and forth, but is that, like, if I shoot at my Ankh, it'll redirect it to an enemy that's, like, around a corner? Or is it, you know, it both the enemy and the Ankh have to be in vision for it to target the enemy? Because that could be some interesting counterplay to, like, corner snipe people.
I don't know if I'd like that. I think you'd have to... I think the best way to do it is, like, it would have to I think the best way to do it is, like, it has to hit primarily a enemy first and then bounce in a line of sight to the Ankh, is how I imagine it working.
That would make the most sense and probably make it the most balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the fun in that? I want overpowered shit.
I want people to be mad and say that I'm dumb for playing this character.
You are gonna hate this character because, you know, you're a degenerate Sombra main. So,
yeah, I know. Not anymore, though. He's not fun.
Yeah, they ruined it. Okay, let's. I got a question for you guys, because I was having this thought. Like, this character is obviously can one. I think it's a defensive character, because, like, you know, placing Ankhs on attacking sounds like a harder job than defensively placing Augs to, like, protect an area. So, you know, it's like attacking with Torb. It's a little bit harder because of your turrets and shit like that. And this would be even harder because of the bouncing mechanic between the Ankh and everything. So, like, your Ankhs, if they can be targeted, are going to be destroyed. It's hard to be aggressive with those. But my bigger concern is, like, he is obviously a very anti-stealth character, where, like, half of his kit revolves around finding and fucking up someone who's invisible. Do you guys see that as problematic design at all? That it forces...
Yes, at 100%. It's the thing that every Overwatch player in bronze and silver complains about, or at least in quick play. Why are you counterpicking? Why are you doing this?
That's every rank.
Well, yeah. I don't exist outside of low gold, so.
What about you, Dietawork? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's like exactly how Sombra is. The Widow is going to be a... Oh, you want this person? I'm going to go this person. And I mean, sometimes you just got to be better. That's all it boils down to.
I think get outplayed, nerd.
Yeah. I think a lot of it depends on like how easy it is going to be to unstealth this. But like my concern and why I brought this up to you guys is because if this is going to be like if Psylocke's very strong, like if someone picks Psylocke, you must counterpick with Moon Knight. That's my concern is, or just the easy value of instantly swapping. And I'm just concerned, is this the design choice of Marvel Rivals going forward where there's going to be these obvious direct counters? And are we going to turn into a game where it's more about picking the right hero than it is about your gameplay? Because let's be real, we all find that one, two, or three characters we really love to play, and we just want to play them. So imagine you're a Psylocke main, and it says every game you get one kill, and because it's so ingrained in the community now of all these Overwatch players coming over to Marvel Rivals when it starts, that they're just immediately going to Moon Knight to ruin your day. No matter how well you do, they just see you're on Psylocke, they're going Moon Knight. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, but I feel like at that point, like, if everybody is constantly swapping, like, if he's supposed to be a hard counter, that just, to me, that presents a challenge. Like, when I play Widow in Overwatch, if there's a Sombra, I'm like, I'm gonna make you swap before I swap. That's how this is gonna go. So it adds that level of challenge and fun for me, at least, to be like, I'm not swapping, and I'm gonna prove to you why.
Even if I throw this fucking game,
I will hold this lobby hostage.
Yeah.
What about you, Dietawork?
You know, I think that since Marvel Rivals is going to have like a bigger pool of characters, I don't think we're going to feel it as much as we do in like Overwatch. But I don't know. It could be an actual issue where, you know, it becomes Counterwatch.
I just think like, this is all if this leak turns out to be true. It might not, but like, if this is like the design, like there are like, I think a little bit, like maybe we should worry a little bit if it's going to turn into the very thing we hate about Overwatch, which right now for most people is the constant counter swapping. So.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be that big a deal.
Okay. Let's talk about it. The drama.
Hooray.
So I wrote down a couple of things because I argue with people on Reddit and in the Discord, you know. I like to do that kind of stuff. So one thing I personally have had problems with that I want to call out NetEase for is the communications that we've been getting. And I'm not saying that they're bad and we're not getting any. I just don't think there's enough meat. Because it's been over a month since the Psylocke reveal. We don't have anything else. No new character reveals, nothing. No news on how our abilities actually work. No gameplay footage or anything. And I'm hoping by the end of the weekend at the Paris Games Week, we do get something. But that's yet to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Their last thing, their big hype building thing, was this contest they're currently doing in the Discord, where there's a picture of Venom holding up the Eiffel Tower with his hand. And they challenge people to edit that picture themselves to generate hype and enter a contest. And for like those people that are artistic and cutesy, sure, that sounds like fun and, you know, a good way to build community. But where's the meat? Where's the beef? Where are the real fucking information? Yeah. How do you guys feel about that communication process that we've been getting?
I'm not fucking with it. or excuse my language, I'm not messing with it.
Yeah.
I don't like that the little things we've this passed over since the beta stopped have been very minimal. Just character reveals, which is cool, but like Psylocke, they just revealed her and didn't show like how her kit actually works. But we got the Captain America, the Winter Soldier stuff like immediately. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it could be better. I'm kind of on the fence about this because you don't want to show your hand immediately. Like, you want there to be some prizes when you go into the actual game. Or, you know, you don't want to reveal everything immediately. You want to leave, you know, maybe like the week or two before release, you're like, all right, so here's a showcase on all these characters. And that's when you start getting, like, the real hype to get everybody involved. Right now, they're still just doing, like, the beta testing and just trying to, you know, get the name out there to let people know, like, hey, this exists, it's coming. Then there's going to be more surprises that'll be, you know, coming within the next couple weeks. Pay attention. So it draws that focus of, you know, people like you, Conrad, to be checking the news constantly, checking for information, and keep looking for all this information. So it keeps you engaged. It keeps the diehards engaged. But it doesn't overload, you know, the casuals that are just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm excited for the game. But they don't want to be overloaded with like, oh, well, there's, you know, 75 characters. Well, I have to learn every single one of them. I don't want to have to do all that.
And yeah, and I can't say, you're probably right. It does keep me engaged. My problem with it, though, is there's no, they're nothing. They're little nothing burgers. It's like, whoa, contest. I don't care. It's like, oh, we're at Paris Game Week, and they're like showing pictures of like, I don't care, man. I want some real news. I want some real fucking because we're at 40 days now. We're barely over a month until game releases, and they've been good about constant messages and tweets and things like messages and tweets. Are you okay? Are you done? I'm trying to talk to you. They've been good. Everybody's fucking coughing lately, dude. Everybody's getting sick. It's that time of year.
That was self-induced. You can't even like blame that on the cold. That was self-induced.
Yeah, dude. So they've been
very sick. Very sick.
They've been doing good, I guess, like giving us constant little tidbits, but they're just little tidbits. That's my problem. They're just these little nothings. That, like, to me at least, as someone who is like heavily involved in how the game works, how it's going to function, what their roadmap is going to be look like, what characters are coming, I'd much rather that information in tiny bursts than this like little nothing artistic stuff. But that's just me. I hope that people are enjoying it out there. So,
but how about this? Are they putting in secret information in these little like community things of like Venom holding the Eiffel Tower? Is there something in there to maybe potentially reveal some other characters that might be coming?
No, there was nothing there. There's nothing there.
But potentially, like you know, you see enough things that are innocuous, you're just like, okay, whatever. Yeah. You don't look too far into it. But somebody's gonna be like, I see what's going on here.
Yeah, dude. Maybe. Not happened yet. And it's been a few days since Paris Game Week started and this thing started. All right. So, I want to talk about the open beta again, the lack thereof, and the ways the devs are communicating it. And we've already talked about this, about how they're really wishy-washy with their wording that builds, like, they've never directly said, hey, we are absolutely not doing an open beta, look forward to December 6th, see you guys then. They're just not doing that. They just refuse to come out and absolutely say that. And I got in an argument. This is my drama. I'm starting beef here. I got an argument with a guy on Discord about, he said, I don't understand why some of these people are getting mad about the devs for like the way they're communicating about this. And I'm like, well, and I laid out the facts. I'm like, they're really wishy-washy with their language. They're leaving it open to the idea that there could potentially still be an open beta, because they always say like, we're currently not planning on open beta. Like there's hope there is. So they're leaving this hope alive in the hearts of the fanatics of people that are just dying to play the game. And that could be a little bit upsetting. And when he tried to prove me wrong, he linked me to a Discord mod saying there will not be an open beta. I'm sorry. Go fuck yourself. Like, a Discord mod, which I could sign up to be if I wanted one, does not have the know-how or the knowledge of what NetEase is going to do. And to be clear to that guy, if you're out there listening to this podcast,
fuck you. Fuck your family.
The last message that they said about the possibility of an open beta, and this was from James, the content manager on the Discord, officially employed in the Marvel Rivals team. What they said as of December 12th was currently, and this is quotes, currently we are locked in prepping for our launch on December 6th. If we have any news for extra betas, we will make corresponding announcements. That is that wishy-washy fucking talking again that I'm talking about. Is it okay to be pissed off about the way they're communicating in open beta? That's my question to you guys.
Yeah, I think everybody, well, not everybody, but people could be upset about that. I mean, you want a definitive answer. You want to know, like, do I have to, like, keep checking? Do I need to get another fucking key? Do I need to start watching streamers again?
Yeah.
But that's my point to you out there, random, obviously 16-year-old kid I got into a Discord argument.
I think he won that argument.
He fails to see. But, I mean, I just backed out. But I'm causing more issues about it here. But, yeah, they keep saying things like this. We are currently, yeah, this non-definitive answers. And it, in my opinion, it's bullshit. Because they know the hype there is. There's almost 400,000 people in the Discord right now.
That's a lot of people.
They know the hype they're causing. And they know there are fanatics out there who are currently obsessing about the game. They know this. So that leads me to my next question. Is it the developer's responsibility to temper expectations?
Absolutely not. I don't think developers or therapists or babysitters. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should. I mean, they know what they're doing. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. They see these messages from people. They know that we're like, yo, can we get an answer? They want us on the hook. they want us to sit here and wait and be angry. Because we keep checking and we keep thinking about it and we'll make freaking podcasts about it.
We're falling right to their plans.
We're doing it. They're pulling the strings. I don't think they have to be. I mean, even if they were, I don't think it mattered because, you know, they know what they're doing.
And you can't be mad. So when you say developers, do you mean like the people that actually work on the code of the game, or do you just mean like NetEase, you know, decision
when
makers?
I say that, when I say that, I mean, yeah, the people in charge of releasing information.
Because I would assume that developers would be like, fucking send it, bro. Like, let's get this shit on the road. Mm-hmm. I want people to test my stuff and, you know, tell me what's wrong so I can fix it. But, you know, there's always going to be the corporate side of things that's going to be like, oh, tee-hee-hee, and, you know, play to people's emotions to try and... I think what is going to end up happening... Excuse me. We're not going to get an open beta. Because they know that there's so much hype for this game that people are going to buy it, and if they play it for a week and decide they don't like it, they have already spent the $40 or $50 on it, and they just
free to play game.
It's free to play.
Well, never mind. Fuck what I said. But you know, they get their monthly users or whatever for the beginning, and then you know that it propels the popularity of it because everybody's like, oh, I want to see what's going on with this, mm-hmm. and then you know it's once they've got their initial hooks into people, they'll know who their dedicated base is and how to go from there.
And people on Reddit are literally foaming out the mouth waiting for this game to come out. Like, there'll be posts of, like, you know, it's that Wolverine meme where they're fucking Wolverine sitting there with the pitcher in bed.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's posted all the time. And they're literally talking about all the time about how they go to bed every night wishing they could play Marvel Rivals and all they can think about is playing Magic. Which leads me to my next talking point. It's like, Could it possibly be this game might be overhyped just a little bit? And what I mean is like so there's a lot of hype and these people are going crazy, foaming at the mouth, this all the time, all over, like, I can't wait, blah blah blah. It's to the point where one, I'm seeing the people think the NetEase devs can do no wrong, and that this is gonna be a magical, perfect game that's gonna solve all their life problems, and they're gonna just be happily ever after. You know, mm-hmm. Like, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm not wearing rose-colored lenses because I am a Marvel media enthusiast. So, but honestly, like, in retrospect, like, now that I haven't played it in a while, I still want to play it just mm-hmm. as bad. I had fun. Like, I'm mad at myself that I didn't play it more because I didn't play, like, the first little bit of it, mm-hmm. a little bit of the beta. So I think, I'm ready.
Do you think, and this is my question for both of you, do you guys think that this game's going to come out and it's going to be that magical moment in the lives of everybody who waited for, where it's like tears down their face, like, I'm finally free. I'm finally happy. Nothing could go wrong.
I think it will go through a big honeymoon phase, and then you're going to get, you know, all the Overwatch players who are done with Overwatch. They're going to roll over, and they're going to go into Marvel Rivals and be like, this is a brand new experience, and they're going to play, like, 5 games, and then it's just going to be like, this is the same fucking game.
Yeah.
And so it's, I don't want to say that it's overhyped. I don't want to say that it's underhyped. I think people are just ready to move on from like Overwatch and stuff like that. Cause let's call a spade here. This game is designed for the Overwatch players of the world.
And you can call a spade. You can say how you call a spade anymore.
Can we say let's call the kettle black?
That might be worse.
I don't know.
But in all honesty, like, that's what this game is. This is Overwatch with a different IP, and it's just gonna, it will have its ups and downs, just like Overwatch does. And it's, I would say probably within 6 months, there's already going to be people that are going to be like, I fucking hate this game. It's too much like Overwatch. I want to go play something else.
Mm-hmm. I think that even if they hate the game, they're going to be hopelessly addicted to it. And I want to say, like, I am also incredibly excited for this game to come out, and I definitely plan to no-life it for a long time. But I'm also tempering my expectations of release. You know what I mean? It's that, I don't expect this game to be, like, my forever game all the time, just, like, in the future. I'm going to play it a lot. I want to create content on it. I want to do all that stuff. I want to have a lot of fun with this game. But I also realize, you know, a couple things. One, we've talked about the issue with the, if they don't do an open beta stress test. Like, likelihood, a lot of hopes are going to be broken on December 6th when this game ultimately fucking struggles in the server department.
Yep.
Ultimately, this game isn't going to scratch the itch, or people are going to have this beta, like this feeling from the beta that they think is going to be replicated in the full release, and it might not. So I'm certain, like, some people are going to be let down. I also, like, we don't know what the monetization looks like or the optimization. The optimization, according to the streamers, hasn't been fixed since the last beta, that there are still the optimization issues.
Mm.
So we might have to look forward to, like, lower NPCs struggling to run this game at launch. We also have to look into that fact that we don't know how this is monetized. NetEase is a famous company that has almost exclusively made mobile games, and we all know what monetization looks like in mobile games. So,
I mean, I'm not gonna complain about monetization because I was definitely one of the guys that just dropped $90 on a mount in WoW. So I will have no right to complain about that.
Yeah. But, you know, then again, you are an individual who is highly trained from the military, used to operate nuclear reactors, to now has a decent civilian job where you're not going to have to, where you have excess money to burn, essentially, you know?
I mean, yeah, as long as it doesn't become like some pay to win type thing, that's, I don't see that being a thing, but it's, they're going to make a lot of skins because there's a lot of alternate universe, a lot of comic books. So there's chances for monetization to it.
But the question is always to me is like, how much are these skins going to cost? Like, how am I going to have to drop $50 on this Space Knight, like Venom skin? Or are they going to do these ridiculous bundles like Overwatch for $60 where it's like, I could have bought a brand new game, but instead I can look like a lame Deku or a shitty All Might. Like, those are my concerns. Like, how are they going to monetize the game? Is optimization going to fix up? Is NetEase going to be able to, like, step up to the bat for their first, like, game of this nature? So I just want people to realize that there are real worries that we have about full release, and hopefully NetEase steps up, but we should stop glazing them like people have, like these ideas that, like, you know, nothing's gonna go wrong, the game's awesome, the devs are all like doing phenomenal. Like, they haven't even got a chance to prove themselves. Like, so give them that chance before we, you know, we get on our knees. So
I'm already on my knees.
Yeah.
It's their ball game to throw at this point.
You and a lot of people. I get it. The beta was good. The beta was really good. I had a lot of fun. But to ignore the obvious faults there, like, we only had four maps to be seen in the beta. Optimization was horrible across the beta. Balance is being worked on, but, you know, there were obvious balance issues. There were some clear issues. How they launched it, like, how their servers are going to handle it as we go forward. It's There's a lot to think about. So let's not like give these developers and this NetEase team too big of a head. Let them step up to the bat before we you know, we glaze them. So you know what? That's about all I had for this episode of things to talk about. What are you guys' final thoughts? What are your concluding thoughts? What are your hopes and dreams for the next few weeks? And what do you expect from, like, NetEase? Or what would you like to see from NetEase in the next couple of weeks?
I would definitely like to get the confirmation or non-confirmation as to whether or not we are getting something here in America. I don't think it's going to happen, so it'd probably just be sitting on my hands waiting until December 6th. But it just, you know, get solid answer, please. Just yes or no. That's it. Don't be dodging around the question and giving us these, you know, non-answers. Give us an answer. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Dehita Work? What do you want to see in the next couple of weeks?
I want to see, you know, of course, besides a beta confirmation, I'd like to see at least some more maps, like Psylocke's kit breakdown, like just something, please, anything. Really, I want to see more maps because, like, the maps we played on were okay, but I need more.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of, I'm along the same things. I don't care if there's open beta or not. I really don't. My problems have always been with the way it's communicating and the way they're playing hype. That's always been my issues with it. And I would love to see just a confirmative answer either way. I'd love to see another beta. I think it's smart for them to do another beta. I think it's ridiculous to test one server and then say your servers overseas are going to be just fine. Are they really going to say... My big thing is, are they really going to say these servers over here are tested when they averaged about 50,000 viewers or 50,000 players during the open or the closed beta that we had a couple months ago? Like, there's 400,000 people about waiting to jump on the game at time of launch just in the Discord alone. That's six times the number, maybe more than that if they start an advertising blitz. That's my concern. And like you guys said, I want to see some more hero reveals. I want to see Moon Knight revealed. I want to see another video. I'd love to see a video of showing a couple more maps, a couple more characters, and an idea of when we should expect, like, a roadmap or more. I'd love to see some balance changes, too. But that's about all I got. If you guys don't have anything else, please plug yourselves.
I am Vance Helsling Gaming. I have been getting criticized by several of my nieces and nephews that are just like, why aren't you making content? I'm like, well, adulting sucks. But once Marvel Rivals comes out, hopefully I will be able to have enough time to start getting more content out there. So Van Helsing Gaming on YouTube and Twitch.
Mm-hmm. The heater work, catch me on Overwatch, teabagging your corpse. Twitch coming soon.
And I am Conrad Uther. You can always catch me streaming at Twitch, getting mad at video games. Twitch.tv/Conrad Uther. Thank you for watching episode 5 of the Marvel Rivals Review Podcast. We look forward to bringing you guys more content. We look forward to keeping this up. Hopefully we get more frequent in our episodes as information becomes more readily available. All right. Peace.
Bye.